Since I was ordained to the priesthood in 1977, I usually traveled for many, many years, several times a month by plane to different cities to offer the traditional Latin Mass. One of the major crosses of air travel has always been the constant noise, and it's gotten worse over the years. By this, I don't mean the drone of the engines, but I mean the barrage of racket you get from the moment that you leave the car at the airport. There are amplified announcements all the time, recorded mechanical voices that tell you you're now entering the transportation mall, the shuttle to the concourse is here, please take children by the hand and have a nice day. You get the intrusive recorded muzak, and then when you arrive at the gate in many airports and you sit down, there you're confronted by the noise of the television, the airport channel, and noise from that is coming at you. So it's nearly impossible to read your breviary or spiritual book or anything serious. So when you sit down on the plane, finally, the drone of the engine becomes a rather welcome noise. But even then, sometimes you don't get peace and quiet because you'll get a kid sitting next to you who'll have earphones on, who'll be listening to rap music. You'll be trying to pray the office, and you'll get ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch constantly. I read a statistic some years ago that said that one of the major causes of violence between neighbors is amplified noise from some electronic device, like a television or radio or a stereo. And how often I've thought of that when I've been in an airport. We have a need for silence. The fathers of the church, by this I mean the early church writers, such as, for instance, St. Augustine and so on, wrote commentaries on today's gospel. And many of these commentaries speak about the need for silence in the spiritual life. The fathers of the church look at the incident in today's gospel where the deaf mute is cured. And they say that there is a deafness and a dumbness which are evil and which need a cure such as our Lord worked today. But the fathers also say that there is a deafness which is good. For instance, when we shut our ears to the words and to the noises of the world. The fathers also say that there is a dumbness, or a muteness, we could say, which is praiseworthy, such as when we refuse to speak to men in order to talk with God. They point to something in the gospel today. Our Lord is going to cure the sick man. What does he do? He separates him from the crowd in order to heal him. And the fathers say that we can see a spiritual sense in this particular action, our blessed Lord. When we think of the need for silence, the need to be away from the crowd, the need to be away from noise, in order to heal oneself and to make progress in the spiritual life. Silence is necessary so that God may act on the soul. Absolutely necessary. Every action of ours that demands application of attention also requires recollection and therefore silence. This is a common fact for all members of the human race. If you undertake anything that's serious, that requires the application of your mind in any significant way, you require silence to do it. I notice this time and time again when I work and when I write. When I'm doing purely mechanical tasks at my desk, such as figuring out the budget or just quickly going through correspondence, quickly going through the mail, these actions I can perform while I have the radio on in the background. You can be half listening to NPR or to the classical station as you're performing these tasks. But for anything serious that requires concentration, you absolutely need silence. So, for instance, when I go to work on an article, to write an article on a particularly serious topic that requires a lot of thought, you have to have absolute silence. So it's necessary for relatively mundane actions, and it's all the more necessary so that God can act on the soul. For the spiritual man, he needs silence, and we all seek to be spiritual men. We have to apply ourselves to discover the presence of God, the center of the soul, to discover in the soul the riches that God has placed there. But we need this act of separation. We need this silence. Our Lord says, "When thou art praying, go into thy inner room and shut the door upon thyself, and so pray to the Father in secret. Then thy Father who sees what is done in secret will reward thee." Part of the message of that passage is that God lives and communicates himself to the soul in secret. In secret. Our Lord himself gave us an example about the need for silence to attain intimacy. Now, our blessed Lord was already united with Almighty God in the most intimate way possible. Yet he gave us an example of silence that we could follow to achieve intimacy with Almighty God in our own way. Our Lord lived in silence in Nazareth for 30 years. And during his public life, in the quiet of the night, our Lord went off to pray to his Father. Before he began his public ministry, 40 days of a reserve of silence in the desert. And finally, prepared for his death by 3 hours of prayer. We have noise all around us. Constant, mechanically produced noise, the noise of others. We live in this perpetual motion, this perpetual activity. We're forced so frequently to learn to live in that atmosphere, but to do so as a spiritual person, you have to cultivate deliberately silence as far as you can. Now, as always, the truth remains that communication with God is established in the silence of the interior life of the soul. Seek silence to draw closer to Almighty God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.